And a good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe live at the Marker Resort here in beautiful Key West, Florida. Our final day here in Key West. We return to Nashville tonight. Looking forward to that, but we've had a great 3 days. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane Nick Fraser is running around somewhere. Parker Kelly back at the studio. JoJo, what's up?
Well, it almost was a Big Joe RIP show because last night, we'll talk about the comedy show, we got on the stage here at Comedy Key West, and JoJo got heckled by a man in the crowd. And
you did.
Chase and I were in stitches because this guy wanted to fight me, flip me off. I flipped him off. I mean, it was and he looked like Papa Smurf, so – look, I know a lot of people don't like me. This guy hated me.
Oh, yeah. All because you told a joke about a Tesla.
That's right.
And he did not. He took it personally because he drove a Tesla.
Right.
And then he got up there and played an accordion, which I still am trying to figure out exactly what that was. But
yeah. Yeah.
It's like.
Did you like what I said to him? He was heckling me on the when I sat down, when I leaned over to him. I can't say it on air, but we shot our shot. It was fun.
Yep.
And Chaser did pretty good on stage last night. I was terrible, but it's all part. We tell you all the time, just take chances. Live your life. When are you going to be in that moment again in your life?
Yeah.
So don't go home thinking, you know what, I should have got up there and did that. No, go do it. Go do open mic comedy night. Look up Zanies. Go over there and do it. Just do it. Make yourself happy. And have fun with it. I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
Yep. You got to have fun. If we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane.
Somebody said that before.
The late, great Jimmy Buffett.
He did.
So
look at this dude walking to us right now.
Oh, is he wearing a captain's hat?
Dr. Crane in his captain's hat. Look how happy he is.
He is very happy.
He's like
a little
poodle. I mean, he's the happiest guy in America.
If he slipped and fell in the pool right now,
I'd save him
so hard.
I'd save him. Hey, buddy, wear your water wings. Don't get too close to the pool like that. Oh, man. But, yeah, good time. Thank you. I mean, really thankful for reuniontownship.com, back home, City Limits Apartments, for being partners with us this trip. We'll talk more about that during the show. And to the great staff here at the Marker Key West Harbor Resort, if you'd like to come down here, we've seen the pictures. People have commented. If you want to come down here, I mean, we have a special code for the Chase and Big Joe show. Just put the code ESPN when you come down here. You get 20% off their best available rate. 20% off the best available rate. That's the Marker Key West Harbor Resort down here, and it's spectacular. We can't not thank the staff enough for being here.
Oh, yeah. And you don't want to miss that deal. So that is definitely a good one. Derek Mason is going to join us at 12:15, the MTSU football coach. So we'll talk to him as their season continues. A lot of college football to hit. The new college football playoff rankings are out. Vanderbilt is the highest rated team in the state of Tennessee.
Isn't that crazy? And they're knocking on the door.
Oh, so they're there.
When Texas gets beat by Georgia on Saturday, see ya. A few more losses. Vanderbilt, all you got to do now is win your next two, and you're in the college football playoffs.
Yep, and I think they know that. So they're off this week, so they can just get some help and get healthy and all of that. But
how's Pavia celebrating the off week?
I heard he was down our way. Having a good time.
He was having a good time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so
and good somebody, for him. Somebody commented, why is he not in class? Well, he's 40. And he doesn't need to go to class anymore. We're good.
Have you ever seen the movie Van Wilder?
Yes.
That's him.
Oh, yes. Well, good for him, man. All that. But, yeah. I mean, good for Vandy. I mean, they're sitting there two wins away. Now, Tennessee, you have an opportunity in 2 weeks to ruin Vanderbilt's everything.
Yep. And you know they would want to.
Oh, yes, they would.
But anyway, what is our question of the day?
So our question of the day is, and it's not a morbid one, and just I want you to follow me on this. About a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, somebody broke into Jordan-Hare Stadium and spread the ashes of their dad on the 50-yard line of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Our question today, where would you love your ashes to be spread? Where would you want your family to spread your ashes after you, the good Lord calls you home and you've had a great life? Where would you love for your family to spread your ashes? Chaser, where would you like your family to spread your ashes?
Our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. That's a really good question. Dr. Crane took his shirt off, so I don't
He is the youngest 72-year-old, 27-year-old man in America. If we all had his attitude, I mean, he's won over the entire staff here. We'll get a picture.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
So you can spread up to three spots.
Well, the farm where I live
okay. Would
be one. I would also go with maybe down here, probably.
Any specific place down here?
Just on the harbor.
Okay. The harbor's good. Yeah. That'd be fine.
As I get my chicken
wings. That's fine, buddy. Yeah. That's good. So your farm down here on the harbor, any place else?
I mean, it's very on brand with me, but a racetrack. Daytona.
Daytona.
Yeah.
What part of the track would you like it to be spread?
Turn four.
Get it. All right. So the farm, somewhere in Key West, and racetrack. I'm going with the 50-yard line at McGavick High School. You guys know how much McGavick High School means to me and how it was the greatest high school ever. Half of mine are right there. The other half, the middle of Duval Street in Key West.
Yep.
It's just, you find happy places. This place makes me happy. McGavick High School makes me happy. A lot of good memories there.
And the people spreading those ashes would be your daughter, your son, your granddaughter, and probably me.
Or maybe some hobo that they gave $10 to. Just, they go do this right there. Yeah, but probably. But
Hannah would call me, like, hey, can you take care of this?
Do this? Dad didn't leave me any money, so if you could do this. So I'm just curious where you'd like your there's been some really cool ones. I mean, I know people have broken into stadiums and done that. I know the Jordan-Hare one. I know somebody's done it at Neyland Stadium as well. So, yeah, I just think it's an interesting question where you would like to spread your ashes. And I don't think it's morbid at all. I think it's a beautiful thing if you want to do that because it reminds you of someplace special. And then my kids would see that and like, oh, man, it reminds me of my dad. So that's why it hits me so emotionally.
Hair Metal Henry says, I want my daughter to spread my ashes in the greenside bunker on the seventh hole at Pebble Beach along the ocean. I also told her there would be no provision in the will to pay her bail if she gets caught.
See, that's what we're talking about. That's beautiful.
We took, when my uncle passed, we took his to Blowing Rock, North Carolina.
What is that?
It's a park. But, I mean, it's like on the Blowing Rock, like in the Smokies.
Okay. Fancy.
Yeah, it was awesome. Josh says, I want my ashes in four places, inside the ice at Bridgestone, the new Nissan Stadium, Truist Park, and the Gulf of Mexico / America off of a cruise ship.
Beautiful. That's what we're talking. See, that makes you smile. So when you do this, you think about happy places that you've been and you love. These are great. Keep them rolling, man.
Wes in Hermitage says, Big Joe's closet.
A lot of skeletons in there, Wes. You better watch out, buddy.
Devin and Dixon, spread my ashes on my family's property. Turn 4 Daytona and center ice at Bridgestone Arena.
I would think Turn 4 Daytona is a pretty popular one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And if you're asking why Turn 4.
Please tell us.
That is where Dale Earnhardt died. So a lot of us Earnhardt fans want to be closer to Dale.
I'm sure some have done that, right? I mean, I've snuck in and done that.
Yeah.
And gotten in there.
Yeah, probably.
That's something. That's really cool. I mean, it's all these are great answers.
Robbie Stanley has weighed in. Spread mine at the Hendersonville Cracker Barrel.
See, it's a happy place for Robbie.
Yep. Dustin in Hopkinsville, the old Cat West in Fort Campbell. Is that what I think it is?
Yes, it is. Oh, my God. Hey, whatever makes you smile, that's perfect.
Sylvia in Clarksville. I'm a crafter, so Hobby Lobby.
Can you imagine doing
just
that?
Just walk in the middle of the store.
Excuse me. What are you doing? Don't worry about it. Walk up. That's what we're looking for today.
Oh, these are good. 615-737-1025. Keep them coming. And like we said, I want to talk to Derek Mason in a few minutes. But the college football playoff rankings did come out. No surprises in the top five.
God bless you, Bubba.
Ugh. Okay. Sorry about that. So Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia. Texas Tech moves up two spots to sixth. Ole Miss drops a spot to seventh, which I don't know if I really understand that. Oregon's up one to eighth. Notre Dame's up one to ninth. Texas is up one to tenth, which I, again, don't really agree with. Oklahoma is up one to 11th. And you got BYU has dropped five spots to 12th.
Right.
Oh, Utah. Okay. Vandy is at 14. Miami at 15. Georgia Tech 16. Then USC, Michigan, Virginia, Louisville, Iowa, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, South Florida, and Cincinnati.
It's not bad. So who's 13 through 16 again?
Utah, Vandy, Miami, Georgia Tech.
Okay, so Miami's highest rated ACC school in there.
Yeah, so, I mean, they would be – so if you look at the actual bracket right now, you'd have your Ohio State's the one, Indiana the two, A&M the three, Bama the four. They would still have – I don't think they've updated this yet. They haven't. Okay. Well, let me find a bracket, and then we can go from there.
Okay.
But we'll talk to Derek Mason, MTSU coach, coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at the Marker, Key West, here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Wednesday at the Marker, Key West. The last time we were in Key West, it was we were with the Blue Raiders and drove down. We bring in head coach Derek Mason now, who is with us. Coach, how you doing?
Man, doing well. It's Wednesday, hump day.
It is. It is. How's the work been this week? I know you've had a little news come out of your program, made some changes on your coaching staff. So tell us a little more about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the news came out, but for us, I mean, it's at the time of the season, man, where you're looking and you're evaluating, and you know, for us, we just felt like there was going to be some opportunities for us to, you know, sort of. In this stretch of ball games with a bang, I have been evaluating everything that we're doing, you know, top to bottom, as most coaches do, and I've been in it with these coaches, you know, almost all season, and I think growth is optional. Sometimes change is inevitable, and that comes in different ways. I think we have been playing hard, and you know, been pushing ourselves, and you know, like trying to get the you know, my outcomes that we want, but obviously I saw some shortcomings. I think, you know, for us, the change was necessary, and you know, as we look at O-line and what we're doing at receiver, heading into Western Kentucky, man, we got a chance to go get another one this week. So those changes I think are going to have bred just a different type of energy as we started into our week.
I know you, obviously, you've been around long enough. You've been on both sides of those conversations. But does it make it even more difficult to have that conversation in the season, knowing that you still got three games that you want to try and make something happen, but also looking ahead to next year?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, when a coach leaves for personal reasons, that's a different matter.
Sure.
You know, when it's about – you know, I mean, us needing to get better and look at the production. I never want to make changes in season because I think it's disruptive. But when I think the disruption has occurred, you know, like for us, and I see us not sort of playing with the fundamentals or the fire that's needed and necessary. Then what we need to do is make a change and. Again, change was made. Guys have responded. You know, Coley Crowley's done a terrific job over the last 2 days. Man, we've had two practices, and you know, we're just trying to fundamentally be better and hold these guys to the standard. And I think doing that allows us or gives us an opportunity to play a great ball game on Saturday.
Talking to Coach Derek Mason on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Coach, we got Western Kentucky Saturday. It's a chance to kind of ruin their season, and I'm loving this. What is they do so well, so many things. What's the one thing you've got to stop from Western Kentucky to let them not get that momentum?
You know, Western's, you know, I mean, good at being able to, you know, layer you on the football field. They're balanced in the run. They're balanced in the pass. And so, you know, if everything looks the same, okay, the run – it is what it is, but then the play action comes off of it, and then the shots come off of that. So you have to be disciplined in what you do. You got to play top down, and really, like, this is a group that we've seen this year struggle a little bit versus the run, but you know, how they play football is a different brand of ball. It's their ball right now, and they're a football team who's found a way to win, you know, as many games as anybody in Conference USA.
Do you see – I know practice is everything, different opponent each week, but, I mean, when you mention Western, you know, I'm an alumni, Chase is of MTSU. When you mention Western, we're like, oh, yeah. All right. I mean, we get a little fired up right there. You feel that from the team as well, because that's the biggest rival.
Yeah, I've got a couple of young men in here from different places, and, you know, I mean, we talked about rivalry a little bit this week, you know, going into it. You start the week off with it, and then you bring it back. But here's the thing about rivalry games. I don't care if you're talking about MTSU and Western Kentucky, or you're talking about Ohio State and Michigan. The records go out the door. This is about pride. This is about territory. This is about, you know, like these things that sort of pop up community. So for us, we want to establish something. Okay, man, they're 9-1 over the last 10 years. So what we need to do is be able to do something different, and this weekend provides that opportunity.
Coach, I see it every game. Chip and I did. We talk about it. Your wide receivers are something else. I mean, these guys get open, get separation. I mean, I know the record is what the record is, but you got these wide receivers who are playing really at a high level. And I know you're a defensive guy, so you got to heap some praise on the offense here for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I like how they play. I know we've had, you know, a fair number of drops, but when you look at their ability to score, Cam Lacy, you know, Hunter Tipton, when you go through, you know, the group of guys and what they've been able to do, Miles Butler just continues to show up. We've got a group of guys that can play. We're still, you know, waiting for some guys to fall back in the line, like Najee Cox, you know, who started hot early. But, you know, as a group, they're talented. The guy who's been the workhorse week in and week out is Jaquill Middlebrook. You talk about a guy who shows layers and dimensions, whether it's a returner, a pass catcher, or coming out of the backfield, or getting the ball handed to him out of the backfield. He's different. He's really different.
Yeah, I was going to ask him, Coach, if he does windows, because he runs, he catches, he punt returns, he does everything else. I mean, what I like, and Chip and I talk about this every week, he doesn't stop running. I mean, even from Pee Wee football, they tell you, choppy steps, keep going. This dude earns every yard that he gets.
He does. I mean, it's semi been frustrating to me, because you saw last week, you know, he goes down the pipe for like a, you know, the 50-yard plus touchdown. And he's capable of being a one-on-one matchup problem, whether he's coming out of the backfield or whether he's been the ball's being handed to him. He can make a 5-yard run look like a highlight reel. So he's just fun to watch, and he's fun to coach. His energy, I mean, if we had, you know, 22 of those guys, man, it looks different, because he's just special in terms of how he practices, how he plays, and really what he brings to the game. He's a real credit to the Blue Raider uniform, that's for sure.
Well, Coach, best of luck this weekend against Western Kentucky. We appreciate the time, as always.
Hey, 100 miles of discomfort. They call it hate. The game's being played on Saturday. Let's go.
Love it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Take care.
That's great. Yes, sir. That's funny, because it was – I don't like the word hate.
Yeah.
I know some do. It's really, but 100 miles of discomfort is perfect. Good job, Coach, on that. That's a big game. I mean, look, the record is what the record is, but you can go out Saturday and really ruin your rival season. You can. Yeah. I mean, it's in like, oh, man. So there's something to play for on Saturday.
Well, and how much – I'll ask you the same question I kind of asked him. You obviously want to end this year on a high note, but how much are you kind of looking now trying to fix some things where you don't have some of the same issues next year, knowing that your roster is probably going to change?
Well, that's the thing, is that I don't think you can – I mean, you can recruit towards next year, but you still got 3 games to play.
Yeah.
And you don't know what's going to be out in the portal world. I'm telling you, man, these college coaches now have one of the most difficult jobs, because you got to re-recruit your own players. You got to put a game plan together. You got to look at other players. You got to say, all right, we need a tight end in the world. Where's a good tight end? I mean, it is 24 hours, 7 days a week, and we know these college coaches. And nobody's feeling sorry for them. I understand all that. But this is so much more than putting together a game plan and playing on Saturday. So you got a ball game still in front of you.
to go out and get done. But, man, there is a lot. I mean, these coaches burn the candles. I bet you Derek Mason gets to work at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Probably.
And they don't leave to 8, 9, 10 o'clock. And this is all coaches don't leave. Yeah. I mean, what did Joe Gibbs had his assistants bringing cots to put in their offices? I mean, it's more than just a job, man. This is their passion, and they're committed to all this.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the college football discussion. Coming up next, we're live at the Marker Key West. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Wednesday at the Marker Key West. We'll be back in Nashville tomorrow at the Omni. Looking forward to that. Tonight on Total Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on Evansville at 7 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Total Hits Nashville app on TotallyHitsNashville.com. So look forward to that with the college football playoff. So I guess this is a guesstimate of what the bracket would look like to this point. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, the top four seeds, so they would get the first round off.
So let's say say this is happening this weekend.
Yep. So you would have number 12, South Florida. They would be the group of five representative at number 5, Georgia.
Ooh, so in Athens.
Yep, in Athens with the winner going to Alabama.
Oh, man, I love this.
Number 9, Notre Dame would go to Eugene to take on the Ducks.
Wow.
With the winner of that game going to the Shoe to take on Ohio State.
Can Notre Dame and Oregon both lose?
Yeah,
that
would
be possible. That'd be really good.
Number 11, Miami at number 6, Texas Tech. The winner of that game would take on Texas A&M.
Texas Tech would beat them by 30.
Yep.
Miami don't want to go to Lubbock, Texas in the 1st of December.
Number 10, Texas would head to Oxford to take on Ole Miss, with the winner of that game taking on Indiana in the quarterfinals.
Oh, I like that.
Texas at Ole Miss would be a hell of a matchup. Like a playoff game at Oxford.
Oh, yes.
Oxford in December.
Yeah. Maybe that Grove would be hopping.
Well, there ain't no maybe.
It's hopping when they play Drums Junior College.
It would be hopping. So the first team out with these rankings would be Oklahoma. Miami's, I guess, in because they're the ACC.
Okay.
So Oklahoma would be the first team out.
So they're 13th, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Georgia Tech's out. Obviously, Vandy.
Vandy's 14th, so it means only really one school in that poll is ahead of them in the 12th. Well, two, I'm sorry.
Utah, stupid. BYU, still ahead.
So who's 13th?
Utah.
Okay.
So Oklahoma's 11th, then BYU, then Utah, then Vandy.
So Oklahoma's got Alabama this weekend. So if you're a Vandy fan, you want Alabama to pound Oklahoma. They're gone.
Yep.
That gets them out of the way. Utah's got
– actually, you could kind of go either way on that game.
No. Alabama ain't getting out.
Yeah.
That gives them two losses. They ain't losing another game.
You're right.
So go ahead and take the easiest route. Let Oklahoma get out of there. Alabama stay – let those first four stay there. That's fine and do all that. But have some upsets here and there, knock them out. You're not going to get in for the group of five. So they're going to be, somebody in the group of five is going to be there. You have the ACC is going to get in. So you got 10 spots. Four have already taken by the top four. So you got 6 spots to get in if you're Vanderbilt.
And 5 spots belong to the SEC right now with Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss.
So you want Georgia, if you're a Vandy fan, you want Georgia to beat Texas.
Yep.
That gives them 3 losses. They're gone. So Vandy fans, you got a lot. I know it's an open week for, but you got a lot to cheer for this week. You want Alabama or Oklahoma, and then you got to write a route for Georgia to beat Texas.
Yep.
Because if Texas beats Georgia, that hurts Vanderbilt. If Oklahoma beats Alabama, that hurts Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Because these schools all have 2 losses together, and they're ranked higher than Vanderbilt now.
No, you're right. You're right. Go Georgia, go Alabama.
Right. There's going to be a lot of Vandy fans watching TV this weekend to see what happens and how it goes out. But that's it. But, again, Vanderbilt and Clark Lee have played themselves into a spot now where they're sitting there, and I love this word because I never knew what it meant for 40 years, the precipice of getting into the college football playoff. And I love this. I love talking about this. And now, again, if they beat Kentucky next week, they're 9-2 and things fall their way. You go into Neyland and Tennessee, my goodness, who would have ever thunk this?
No. Would be just wild. So we got a little less than a month until the final college football playoff bracket, the official one, will be revealed. That'll be Sunday, December 7th. And remember, looking at the top 25, the seeding is different. It gives you kind of a picture, but the way the seeding, and they've changed how the seeding's done too.
Right.
Which we like that. I mean, I like that it's just the four best teams are the top four.
So now I don't pay attention to the AP Top 25.
No.
It matters nothing. And the coaches' poll, this is what matters. This is what they look at. This is what matters. And this is what you pay attention to.
So if it was the old system and it was Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, that's pretty legit.
It's not bad, yeah.
I think if you had – so Ohio State plays Alabama, Indiana plays Texas A&M, Natty would be Ohio State, Texas A&M probably, and Ohio State wins.
You know what's funny? Nobody really talks about Ohio State.
No, because they know they have a pretty good path.
Have they been tested this year?
I don't think so.
Opening game versus, and it's not their fault. You play on the schedule. Who's on your schedule?
Yeah.
But they beat Texas. They beat Penn State, right?
Yeah. So Texas was their first game, which I guess you can say that was the test. They beat Grambling 70-0. Ohio 37-9. Washington 24-6. Minnesota 42-3. Illinois 34-16. Wisconsin 34-0, Penn State 38-14, Purdue 34-10.
They're just playing with their food until they get to there. They wanted Ryan Day out last year, out after losing to Michigan. He runs the table, they win the championship.
The only test left is at Michigan. And then they got to play Indiana in the Big Ten championship game. So that's not easy.
No.
But
I do that Big Ten. Now we'd see I know Indiana won in Oregon. I know they beat Penn State in the last. I get that, but now we'll see the test because Notre Dame bounced them out last year in the playoffs. So now we get to see, if they could beat Ohio State, it's going to be a true test for them.
Yeah. But
listen to this. We're talking Indiana football. Somewhere Pete Stojanovic is having the day.
So if they lost, if Ohio State lost to Michigan and Indiana in the Big Ten championship game, that's two losses. Would they still be in?
It's a great question.
I don't know that they would.
Well, you look at their strength of schedule, and they've lost two games like that to decent teams, and they've steamrolled the others. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Man, that would be – I don't know.
Chase,
I don't know how you grade that.
If Ohio State lost to Michigan, Michigan would have the tiebreaker, and Ohio State wouldn't even be in the championship game.
Oh, that's a good point.
Thank you, Parker.
I didn't even think about that. That's a really good point. So Michigan could then put themselves in a position to win the Big Ten and then really screw things up.
Yep. And then beat – because there's a guarantee – the champion, right? The Big Ten goes. Oh, yeah. I love this.
Yeah, so right now that's the other thing to kind of look at is these championship battles. I don't even know who the top two teams in – all right, so the ACC, Georgia Tech –
Florida State.
No, Georgia Tech, Virginia.
Georgia Tech, Virginia.
The top two. So why is Miami in?
Strength of schedule? I don't think anybody understands this. That's the thing.
How does this work?
Right. I think anybody knows.
And then in the Big 12, Texas Tech, they do a championship game too, right?
Yeah,
so Texas Tech, BYU, but Cincinnati's in there. The Big 10 – Indiana, Ohio State right now, but USC, Oregon, Michigan are all knocking on the door. And then the SEC, it's A&M and Alabama, both 6-0 in the conference. And then Georgia at 6-1, Ole Miss at 5-1, Texas at 4-1, Vandy at 4-2.
Yeah, don't try to figure it out. You know, that's A&M's been the quiet power. Ohio State's the quiet power. So I didn't think A&M would get this far undefeated, but here they are. I mean, they're doing really well. And so who does A&M have left on their schedule? That Texas, right?
South Carolina at home, Samford at home, at Texas.
All right, well, that's going to be a battle. When's the Texas game? Is that Saturday?
That is the 28th. Whatever that is.
Is that a Friday? I think it's a Friday, right? Because today's the 12th. So, yeah, it'd be the 28th. Yeah. What a weekend. I mean, Ohio State, Michigan, Auburn, Alabama, Texas A&M, Texas, and then Vanderbilt, Tennessee. I mean, it would be what a sports weekend. And then you got Mississippi State and Ole Miss that weekend.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State could knock out Ole Miss.
Rivalry weekend will change things.
Yeah, right?
Rivalry weekend will 100% change things. So it always does.
Yep.
So it is it's fun. It's fun to talk about. This is why they do it.
Well, they've created a little bit of fun chaos for us because, you know, it took me a while to, like, all right, I kind of like this because I was of the mindset for so long that college football made it special was that every game mattered. If you lose a game, it hurt. That's why every game mattered. Now, was it when – I forget what game it was. Oh, it was when Clemson lost to LSU and Cade Klubnick's like, yeah, well, I mean, we'll put this away. We still got a chance. We'll throw that one out. We got a chance. And I was like, what a terrible mindset to say – that if we lose another, we're still good. Don't put that mindset out there and win these games. But they've created something. We all look at it. We can gripe and moan about what it is. But the fact is, we're all paying attention. The numbers are massive.
1178 says Texas loses the Georgia game, but beats A&M. Texas at 9-3 is better than Vandy at 10-2.
Yes, probably. I agree. Yeah,
probably.
Because what's Vandy? Vandy beat. Carolina was in the top 25, right, when they beat them. LSU was in the top 10. Missouri was in the top 15. And Auburn was not in there. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty big wins.
Ricky on our text line says, about to piss Chase off. Vandy loses big at Tennessee. None of this matters.
Maybe so. But here's the deal. They're in it.
You still got to play the game.
Still got to play the game. And I'm telling you right now, you guys can laugh at me. If Florida beats Tennessee next week, Tennessee checks out against Vanderbilt. I'm telling you, if they lose to Florida next week, they check out because they're sitting there at 7-4 in Florida, and people are like, oh, you lost to Florida again. Tennessee hasn't won in Gainesville since 2003. So this is a huge game next week for Tennessee because if you lose that game, man, 7-4 and Vanderbilt can knock you to 7-5.
Scott says a few things. Pitt beating Notre Dame would be great too. Duke controls their own destiny and can win the ACC. If they do that and aren't ranked, they have four losses. The ACC won't get anyone in. It's the highest-ranked conference champion, and they put in Miami for now because they're the highest-ranked ACC team.
Makes sense.
But I thought that, like, the Power Four guaranteed somebody.
I thought the conference champion, right?
Yeah.
Because last year, didn't SMU get – or Clemson got in because they beat SMU, and that got them into the championship.
Byron says, just wanted to say that my knowledge level from listening to you guys is kind of a wash. I learned how to pronounce drons correctly, but no longer know how to say Alabama.
Oh, that's why you watch the show.
There
man.
Are certain trigger words like Memphis.
Oh, you bring that. I was like, man, we lost a game. We lost a Trent Dilfer's team. He wasn't down there in Alabama, and so we got bounced out of that. So we all wasn't. So, yeah, I mean, Memphis was there last week. Tulane beats them, and now they're done.
Memphis just squandered it.
They're not there now. I mean, that's just how it goes. And so we love the chaos, what's happening in the college football world, because it gets us all going. And you're right. Pittsburgh beating Notre Dame would be fantastic. Notre Dame could go 6-6. They're still in.
Yeah. We're live today at the Marker Key West, our final day down here in Key West. We're having a good time. Dr. Crane's in his captain's hat talking to some people and having a good time. He is the youngest 2-year-old that we know.
He is. Look at him over there working the crowd.
He is.
He's the ultimate cabana boy.
He is. We'll have more coming from Key West here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Live today at the Marker Key West, where we have been all this week. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yes, back in Nashville tomorrow. Our question today is, And it's not a morbid one. It's one we've got a lot of response on. Where would you like your ashes spread? There's a story a couple years ago that somebody broke into Jordan-Hare Stadium and spread their ashes at the 50-yard line. We've had reports that people have done that at Neyland Stadium. Chase wants to do is at Turn 4 at Daytona. I'd like mine done. And these are all serious. I'd like mine done at McGavick High School in the 50-yard line. That means the place means the world to me. But our question today is, where would you like your ashes spread? What place, you know? And again, when people have texted in this, they're smiling. I mean, these are special, happy places for them. So
right.
Let us know. 615-737-1025. Call or text where you would love your ashes to be spread.
2459, for me, I want some of the 18th green of Kiwa Island Ocean Course,
oh, yes.
The 15-yard line at Williams-Brice, and on the mound at Founders Park where my Gamecocks play.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's beautiful. All those are beautiful spots.
This is a good one. 2889, the Titans end zone where they're not disturbed.
Oh, that's great.
Mike in Lebanon, my family has been going to Destin, Florida since the early 80s, so many great memories. That's my choice.
So, Mike, I guess when you started going to Destin, there was nothing there, and now there's a billion people. That's why we came to Key West. I mean, that's kind of escape from the ordinary. Get down here.
Steven from Hendersonville, if you're doing a happy place, why the hell would that listener pick the new Titan Stadium? That's a new pit of despair. Hair Metal Henry says those ashes wouldn't stay in Turn 4 very long. That's true.
That's the point.
Get blown away.
Yeah. That's the point.
8389, after going to Augusta, sneak me in and throw me out at Amen Corner. I don't think you can sneak into Augusta.
Probably not.
I think that's like the White House.
But if you did, there you go, yeah. Amen Corner.
Dustin in Hopkinsville, not joking, my parents' farm. My wife and I were married there. It was just me, my wife, and two daughters. We've had three more since then, but I want to be close to my family.
So he's got five kids?
And a place where there are many good memories. Yeah.
Somebody's been busy there on the farm.
Al says, I want my ashes spread where victories and touchdowns go to die. South or north end zone at Nissan Stadium.
Oh, my goodness.
0862 says, on any nude beach.
Oh, goodness.
I'm serious. My father-in-law wants his pinky toe cut off and carried to the ocean in Florida.
Really?
All right.
Put it in a Ziploc bag and just, like, turn it over, and, like, there you go. I know.
Excuse me, sir. Can we search your bag?
I did. I spread my mother's ashes two places at where she grew up in Nashville. And then my uncle had died. He was in the junior Air Force ROTC. He died in a plane crash coming back. She'd never been there, so I spread her ashes off a pier in Myrtle Beach. I mean, those things are emotional, but I know doing that made her extremely happy for all that. So that's why all this, these are all happy things. I mean, these are, you know, I think about that. I think about my mom and everything else. And so as well with, you know, his dad and his uncle and all that. So
well,
kind of cool.
Like, I still have my dad's. I haven't spread them yet.
So what are you going to do?
He always talked about Newport Beach, California. That was like his favorite place. He lived there for a couple of years before I came around, before he met my mom and everything. So I've thought about taking him there.
Perfect.
And then maybe some on the farm.
So if we have any law enforcement, please let me know if this is true or not. If you drove from Nashville to Newport Beach, you would have to get a letter. And correct me if I'm wrong, somebody. Telling you have ashes in the car that aren't drugs.
Oh,
like you're not transporting cocaine.
Yeah.
So I got pulled over in South Carolina for speeding, and I said, look, you're in my car. I want to let you know I got this. He's like, you know what? Hardly nobody does this. So thank you. He let me go. I mean, he pulled me over for speed, not for the ashes. But
yeah.
I think that's accurate. If you're a law enforcement, please let me know if that's true or not, that you have to have some sort of letter or something from a funeral home or somewhere I had to get it notarized. So it can't be like, Chase can't give me a note. Hey, this is Chase. Joe's taking the ashes to South Carolina. Thanks. You have to be accurate with that. So that's something. We learn things on this show. Like, you can't flash your high beams to warn drivers.
Yep.
And you can't warm your car in the morning. Leave your key in the car.
So,
Nick Barris, we're more than a sports show, Nick.
We are
an everything show. All right, pal? I know you're listening. Just letting you know. Sorry to get off my chest.
Yeah. Well, we like Nick.
We love Nick. Nick and Mick, yeah.
Yeah, we like them. By the way, real quick, I showed you this yesterday, but these are the Patriots rivalry uniforms that they're going to wear tomorrow. I'm kind of digging them.
Not bad. I like the white helmet with the flying Elvis. I don't mind that. I wasn't a fan of the gray helmet with the flying Elvis.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Well, the silver that they currently wear.
Or is it silver, gray? Whatever. I can't.
Rob Gronkowski has re-signed with the Patriots to officially retire.
As he should.
As a Patriot.
I like that.
Bob Kraft. They've said, Bob Kraft said, how about a two-day contract? And Gronk said, what's the signing bonus?
By the way, Byron says, my mother-in-law's ashes may or may not be in a small role in Orlando. Just to let you know, ashes float. If anyone is wondering, I didn't know. I mean, I don't think off the pier. They just took off.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. We'll have more coming, including, yes, that professional football team. We'll talk about them and more. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe live in Key West at the Marker, 102.5 The Game.